Good morning and welcome to the service of worship from here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. We're located at 340 Spring Street in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'm John Simpson and I'm the interim pastor here at the church. We invite you to join us this Sunday or any Sunday here at the church. We worship together at 11 o'clock a.m. This Sunday, we are celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper here at church. I know that in some churches, they have done this virtually during the pandemic. I'm not quite able to buy into that. So we do invite you to join us here at church to share in that sacrament together as we join in fellowship and in the breaking of bread. Because communion is a part of the worship service here, this Sunday, the sermon will be shorter. It's a communion meditation rather than a sermon. Hopefully it is a meditation that will be helpful to you in your own life and in your own journey with our Lord. And so let us worship God together. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises to his name. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Now, will you join in the singing of, or in at least listening to, this hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church? Let us pray together. Lord, we are a difficult people to convince of your living, abiding presence. Here in worship, we are keenly aware of your Spirit moving among us. But when we go back to our daily routines, how quickly we forget. Draw us close to yourself, O living Christ. And by the power of your Spirit, help us to walk with you every step of our journey, every step of the way. Amen. The first scripture lesson is the Beatitudes, portion of the Sermon on the Mount that is found in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Listen to these words with fresh ears to hear what God might be saying to you personally today. Now, when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled by people. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Now let us share together again in this hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. The second lesson this morning is taken from John's fourth chapter, the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning to read at the 27th through the 34th verses. Just then, Jesus' disciples returned and were surprised to find Jesus talking to a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back into town and said to the people, "Come and see the man who told me everything that I've done. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of town and they made their way toward Jesus. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone else have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Amen. Have you ever been so hungry that everything else took second place? Maybe it was 45 minutes or so before lunch, or maybe it was an hour or so before dinner, but you wanted food. You needed food, you had to have food, and you wanted it right now. Your stomach was growling, your mouth was watering, and you were starting to feel that strange, hungry weakness that we sometimes feel in our arms and our legs when our blood sugar gets low. You look high and you look low, but there is no food in sight. What are you going to do now? Finding food becomes your number one priority. Forget about work. Forget about relaxing. Forget about the possibility of carrying on an intelligent conversation with anyone. Your desire for food now determines your priority. Have you ever wanted something so badly that you were willing to go to almost any length to get it? Maybe it was an education that you wanted. Maybe it was an education for yourself or for one of your children. Or maybe it was a new house. Or maybe it was an addition that you wanted to put on to an old house. Or maybe it was a new deck or a new garage or a new sun porch. Have you ever wanted something so badly that you were willing to go to almost any extent to get it? Maybe it was a trip to Disney World for you and for the kids. You know, the trip of a lifetime, staying in the best of hotels, all meals included, even a VIP pass that made you someone special, at least in the eyes of Mickey Mouse. Or maybe it was a Caribbean cruise, you know, a cruise in the dead of winter, nothing but great food, warm sunshine, blue skies, and crystal blue waters for 8 days and 8 nights in celebration of your retirement, or maybe in celebration of your 50th wedding anniversary. Have you ever wanted something so badly that you were willing to go to almost any extent to get it? You scrimp and you save. You eat out a little less often, and you start taking your lunch to work, or maybe you even begin shopping with coupons, or maybe you start looking at the Groupons. At least you start pricing things more closely so that you can afford what has become your number one priority. Think about it. You know what I mean. Have you had that experience in the past? Do you know what I'm talking about? I think it happens in all of our lives at one time or another, and certainly maybe many more times than once. Our desires determine our priorities. Our desires determine our priorities. What we have happening in the scripture passage that I just read from John chapter 4 is a clash of desires, and therefore a clash of priorities between the disciples and Jesus, between the students and their master. Listen again and see if you can pick out the desire of Jesus. Listen again and see if you can pick out the priority of the disciples. Listen to this, beginning at the 31st verse. Meanwhile, the disciples urged Jesus, "Master, eat something. Master, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples began to say to each other, "Could someone else have brought him food?" Jesus said, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." What desire did Jesus have? His desire was to do the will of his heavenly Father and to finish the work that he had been sent to accomplish. What was the priority of the disciples? It was to get food into Jesus. And perhaps to get food into their own bellies. The desire of the disciples was to take care of Jesus, to see to his well-being, to get some food into him. Their priority was to get Jesus to eat. Thus the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, Rabbi, eat something." But the desire of Jesus was to please his heavenly Father. The number one desire of Jesus was to please his heavenly Father. And thus, his priority was to finish the work for which he had been sent. Two different desires, resulting in two different priorities. The desires of the disciples to energize Jesus, to get him to eat. The desire of Jesus to finish the work for which his heavenly Father had sent him. Our desires determine our priorities. Our desires determine our priorities. The disciples said, "Jesus, you need to eat. You need to take some food. You need to be nourished. You need to be energized. Jesus, you need to eat." But Jesus said, "No, I need to do what I am doing. I need to meet with this crowd that has just come out in the town. I need to teach them. I need to heal them. I need to answer their questions. I need to forgive their sins. I will eat after I finish the job which my Father has given me to do. I will do what he wants me to do, because after all, my food, what nourishes me, what energizes me, is doing my Heavenly Father's will, doing what my Father wants me to do. That's what nourishes me. That's what energizes me." There's a difference. There's a difference. The desire of the disciples determined their priority. And the desire of Jesus determined his priority. The desire of the disciples was to be pleased. The desire of the disciples was to be pleased. While the desire of Jesus was to please. The desire of Jesus was to please. To please his heavenly Father who had sent him. Our desires determine our priorities. Our desires determine our priorities. We come to church. We come to worship. To be nourished, to be energized, to be fed so that we will be ready for a life that lies ahead. We gather around our Lord's table to be fed, to be nourished, to be energized, so that we will be ready for the life that lies ahead of us. But what part of our lives needs to be nourished? Do we need to be nourished in order to pursue our own pet plans? Do we need to be nourished to pursue our own pet projects? Do we need to be nourished in order to pursue our own pet priorities? Or do we need to be nourished? do we need to be energized and fed so that we can pursue the projects and the priorities that God has given to us. The projects and the priorities that God has given to us as individual men and women and boys and girls. The projects and the priorities, indeed, that God has given to us as a church, as a congregation. Do we need to be energized to pursue our own pet projects and priorities, or do we need to be energized to pursue the projects and the priorities that God has for us individually and collectively? Think about it. Is it all about us? Is it all about us, or is it all about doing the work and fulfilling the purpose for which God created you and God created me? Is it all about us? Or is it all about fulfilling the purpose for which God has created us? Here's the point. Here's the point. What would our lives be like? What would your life look like? What would my life look like? What would our lives be like if what fed us, if what nourished us, if what energized us was not just pleasing ourselves, but rather pleasing God? How would our world look different if what was important to us as disciples of Jesus Christ was really, in reality, not just pretend, was really pleasing God and not just pleasing ourselves? Think about that, if you will. How would our world be different? And how would your life be different as well? What we desire determines our priorities. What do you desire most? What do you desire most? And do you have your priorities straight? That is the question. That is the question as we gather around the Lord's table today. And that is the question as we face the week that is ahead. What do we desire most? And do we have our priorities really straight? Let us pray together. Lord, we recognize that this world tells us that what is really important is us. What's really important is me and my happiness and my joy and my satisfaction. But we know, Lord, in deep down in our hearts, that what is ultimately and eternally important is living lives that are pleasing in your sight. Lord God, help me, help us to get and to keep our priorities straight. And for our number one priority, to be pleasing you and to living the lives that you created us to live. We pray, Lord, that this will happen through the power of your Spirit working in our lives today and in the week that is ahead. We ask all of these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join together in singing the communion hymn. Let us break bread together, and you'll find it on your bulletin insert.
And now in his name we take these elements to be set apart by prayer for the holy use for which God has intended them. Let us pray together. Most gracious God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose once offering up of himself upon the cross we commemorate before you. Lord, we earnestly desire your fatherly goodness, that you would accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We pray, Lord, that you will bless and that you will make holy with your own word and with your spirit these your own gifts of bread and the cup that we set before you, that as we receive them, we may receive by faith Christ crucified for us, and so feed upon him, that we may be made one with him, and he with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same way Jesus took the cup, and having given thanks as has been done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Drink of it, all of you." Let us pray together. We thank you, O God, for your great mercies that you have given to us in this sacrament, whereby we are made partakers of Christ. Lord, so enrich us with your Holy Spirit that the life of Jesus may be made real and visible in us, and that the remainder of our days may be spent in your love and in your service. We pray in his name. Amen.
Now let us share together in this hymn that was sung here some time ago at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. to the world in peace, and may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you, now and forevermore. Amen.